Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, a biblically Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. You've got your daily Bible reading, 10 Minutes with Jesus, and today, as you may notice, we are in the month of November, so that means we're currently in our Bible challenge, reading through the Gospel of John over the course of 3 weeks, one chapter a day, 5 minutes, you know, one chapter and one question: who is this Jesus? The whole thing started on November 3rd, so it's not too late to join in. Today, our Bible reading is going to look at a snippet, a little bit from chapter 3 and chapter 4. And then that kind of gets us on track for just taking a little portion of each chapter. And I'll leave it up to you on your own to read through the chapter a day on your own Bible or through the YouVersion Bible app. So a little bit from John chapter 3, probably a more familiar portion. From verses 16 through 21, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned, but the one who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the basis for the judgment. The light has come into the world, yet people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. In fact, everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, or else his deeds would be exposed. But the one who does what is true comes toward the light, in order that his deeds may be seen as having been done in connection with God. This is the word of our God." So a familiar section during Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus, that man who is a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council. And Nicodemus comes to him in the evening and has some questions. And earlier in chapter 3, they talk about baptism and talk about being born again. And usually I make the comment that if someone calls himself or herself a born-again Christian, well, that's redundant. If you're a Christian, it means that you've been born again. That we who were born physically are still born spiritually dead. And God is the one who brings about this rebirth by the water and the Spirit earlier in the chapter 3. And then Jesus kind of brings this discussion to a conclusion, beginning in verse 16. And usually we just think of verse 16 kind of on its own. Gospel in a nutshell: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, or his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that is, yeah, it's enough. But there's more. I mean, our God is so wonderful and so over the top that he doesn't just want you to think about Jesus' work of redemption, that he has come into the world to save you from sin, death, and the devil, and to give you eternal life, and that he sacrificed his own Son for this, that the Son committed himself to this. And verse 17 really should be memorized along with verse 16. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Talking about his first coming, that the purpose of Jesus' coming was that people would be saved, that people would come to repentance, and they would come to know Jesus as their Savior, that they would come to faith, really. And so that really drives what Jesus does here and throughout the rest of the chapter, even down here in verse 22, which is immediately the verse after I had stopped or finished reading today. Verse 22, "After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and was baptizing. God sent his Son into the world to save the world. God sent his Son into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." And each one of us can say that. And it's not false humility when we do. When we do say that, when we do recognize that, we recognize that even if I were to only sin one tiny little sin over the course of my entire life, it would be more than enough for God to condemn me. And even just putting it that way, there's no such thing as a tiny little sin, because sin, by its very nature, by its very quality, is an infringement, a breaking of God's holy law, God's holy will. So this is what God demands, and he commands it, and he's got the right to do so. And it's not for us to decide that something is or isn't worthy of condemnation. If God has said it, then he's serious about it. But verse 17, God gave his Son into the world so that people would come to faith in him. And there's this promise: the one who believes in him is not condemned. You've crossed over from death to life. But the one who does not believe stands condemned already. And verse, you know, the very next verse, verse 19, is kind of a reprise of chapter 1, where we have that theme of light and life coming to light again. This contrast, this is the basis for the judgment. The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light. But the one who does what is true comes toward the light in order that his deeds may be seen as having been done in connection with God. And that's John's way of saying, kind of in a roundabout way, that the fact that you've been brought to faith in this Jesus and the fact that you now live with the life and that you live in light, your actions now are of a different character and of a different sort, where your actions are different now because they've been accomplished because of the connection that God has made with you through his one and only Son. And so that's really what God is talking about here, that in when he says God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, he did that with the result that you are now, even though you're still part of this world, you live in this world, you don't really belong to this world because now you are a child of the light. And that's kind of the point that Jesus gets to in chapter 4. Here in chapter 4, we've got Jesus encountering, you know, two different people. First of all, the Samaritan woman, when they're traveling through Samaria, and he meets this woman at the well as his disciples are going into town to buy food. And then a couple of days later, up in Galilee, he heals this officer's son, this royal official. This man had traveled from Capernaum to Cana, and just from the details that we have here at the end of chapter 4, we hear that it's a little bit of a hike. You know, it's not just 20 minutes over there and you're there. This man had to travel a little bit. I'll pick it up in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 43. After 2 days, Jesus left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had testified that a prophet is not honored in his own country. When he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all the things that he did at the festival in Jerusalem, because they had also gone to the festival. Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. We already have two allusions in two verses to miracles that Jesus has done, and it gives us a hint that we've already passed the first Passover of the three Passovers that John records for us. Verse 46, second half. In Capernaum, there was a certain royal official whose son was sick. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and begged him to come down and heal his son, because his son was about to die. Jesus told him, "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you certainly will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Lord, come down before my little boy dies." "Go," Jesus told him, "your son is going to live." The man believed this word that Jesus spoke to him and left. And he gets verification as he's returning back home that the little boy was healed at the exact time that Jesus had spoken to him the previous day. And so what do we have here? We have, again, the same thing, that the light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not understood it. He gets back up to Galilee, and these people are just waiting. "Hey, Jesus, I hear you're the one who does those incredible miracles and tricks. You got one for us?" And he gets back home here to his home area, and they're looking for something, and they want to see a miracle. And so Jesus says, verse 48, "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you certainly will not believe." And he says that to this man who is begging him, "Come and heal my son, come and heal my son." And it's a handful of times. Another time is when that Syrophoenician woman in the Gospel of Matthew is saying, "Lord, heal my daughter. You know, she's demon-possessed." And Jesus says, "It's not good to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." And she answered with, "Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs under the table get to lick the crumbs that fall from the table." Jesus does the same thing here. He comes back and he pushes back a little bit. You know, he knows what's in this man's heart, but for the sake of the people around him and for the sake of this man, so that this man sees that his confidence is in Jesus Christ and his word alone and not in the actual act or deed, Jesus pushes back. "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you certainly will not believe." And the man says, "Lord, I know you can do it." And Jesus says, "Go, your son is going to live." The man believed this word that Jesus spoke to him and left. This man went home with Well, he came to Jesus with tears in his eyes and pain in his heart. And that day he turned around and went home with only a word in his pocket. Jesus said, "My son is going to live." And that's enough. And so the light that shines in the darkness, the God who gave his son into the world to save the world, is very much desiring that the world hears the word that the son speaks when he comes into the world the first time to save it, so that they aren't condemned with the world the second time when he returns, when he will come in condemnation and judgment. And so looking at John chapter 3, John chapter 4, who is this Jesus? Who does John present him as? Well, John chapter 3, obviously he's the eternal Son of God. He's God, right? But he's here for a saving purpose. He's not here to stand there in judgment and to destroy everyone and everything. He is here that people would believe in him and live. And John chapter 4, he makes that plain. The first part, he talked about himself as the water of life. And then the part that we looked at is that Jesus preaches and he shares the word of God, and that word creates faith, and that word changes things. That word gives life, even from a distance. So who is this Jesus? This Jesus is the one who gives life now, with the confidence that we will have life forever with him in heaven. You can find us tonight. We have worship here 7 p.m. Wednesday evening worship with Holy Communion, and 9 a.m. on Sunday at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. And if you are in the Maumee area, do want to note that I just got a call from the Red Cross. They had a late cancellation, and November 22nd from like 2 p.m. till probably 6:30 or 7 p.m. we'll be having a blood drive here at Resurrection. So we've got a lot of traffic going by. The good news is that the paving is almost done, and so hopefully this week our, you know, two lanes of traffic will be open again, which is fantastic and an answer to prayer. And if you can mark that date on your calendar, keep it in the back of your mind, the afternoon of November 22nd, a blood drive here at Resurrection, where the life of Jesus meets yours, and we have an opportunity to give the gift of life to somebody else. Yes, in our blood, but even more so in the blood of Jesus. God bless your day.